I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 452nd episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I am your host, SBJ. With me is Greg.
Hello, hello, hello. I have nothing interesting going on. How was your weekend? You don't ask us about our weekend anymore. Yeah. I don't think they ever asked me how my weekend went.
It's because when I introduce you, you always have this huge something's happening rant.
No, that's me. That's me.
Will.
Will is here.
I have some unfortunate news that may require me to resign from this program. I have started playing Call of Duty.
What? Why?
Because it's fun.
I've never felt so betrayed in my life.
I realize that. It was a spur of the moment kind of crime of passion. Couldn't stop.
Who brought you to this doorstep?
Who do you think?
That's it. That relationship is over.
You can't have my relationship.
I am ending it.
Did the Call of Duty involve a refer a friend program?
No.
Oh, okay. That was going to be like a transition into like...
It is on discount. So...
That's like a refer a friend program.
Sure. Yeah,
tell
sure,
your friends
exactly.
About the discount.
A friend of mine referred me to this game.
Okay, we have some Pokemon news for today, specifically some Pokemon Go news. Specifically, there's a refer-a-friend program coming to Pokemon Go, so we'll talk about that. And then there's some tournament stuff coming up with the Players Cup 3. There's a Korean event happening, and that's kind of all we got for today. So not a terribly busy week, but hey, sometimes we take those. Sometimes it's okay.
I feel for the 25th anniversary. There's a huge gap of nothing happening. There should be something happening every week. They should be capitalizing on 25 years, pumping out the content. Get a Katy Perry song out there.
They're building the suspense is what they're doing.
Get a BTS song out there. You make us never forget this was 25 years.
Sure. Let's start off with the Pokemon Go news this episode. Specifically with the invite your friends to enjoy Pokemon Go and earn rewards. This is off PokemonGoLive.com. This is Niantic's official news website. We are excited to announce a referral program coming soon to Pokemon Go. I think if you're Australian, you're able to use it.
I saw that, yes.
The beta testing country that is Australia. When you refer a friend to enjoy Go, whether it's their first time playing or returning after a break, they'll receive rewards like Pokemon encounters, rare candy, incubators, and more as they hit milestones on their adventure, and so will you. Like other features we've launched in the past, we will be turning the referral program over in time in order to make the process as exciting as possible. Trainers in Australia will be the first to try it. We hope you enjoy playing Pogo together. And then it shows a picture of like a new trainer with a Charmander, and then another trainer with a Charizard. It's a very cute picture. So how do we feel about a referral program 4.5 years into a game?
I mean, that is generally when they're like, ooh, we're not getting new players. Now it's time to ratchet up Something.
Well, to also, let's start mining, like, bring people back into the cult, right? We've had some losses. Some people have strayed from the pack, and we need to get them, rein them back in. Let's offer them some meager rewards.
I literally can't think of a person that I know that I could convince to play Pokemon Go that isn't already playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah, that seemed to be the general consensus, was I have no one to invite playing the game that I saw. But
so you guys are just thinking of new people. What about people who have been idle, who haven't been playing for
a
while?
It doesn't say that in this press release, but I think the Silph Road, when they data mined this, said that if the person didn't play for over 12 months or something, they would be able to be referred. But I was going to say, you know, I stream Pokemon every day on Twitch, and there's a shocking amount of people that just don't play Go. They either didn't have a phone at the time when it came out, which when Go really came out, if you didn't have a smartphone to play it, you kind of missed out on that whole craze, and then it died down, of course. And then you're like, oh, well, I missed it. Or they just didn't try it at all when it came out. So I think there's still plenty of people that you can get. I am sure there is, like, for example, I have no clue, not that I like my brother, but at one point, I'm sure he liked Pokemon because I know he played the games. But if I did like my brother and he hasn't started playing, that'd be a thing of like, hey, you should sign up. I bring up my brother because this is Niantic isn't missing the mark on this. Lots of games enter a referral friend program many years in, so it's not like they're tone deaf.
This happens all the time. Yeah.
Destiny had a refer a friend program 3 years into Destiny, and I was able to get a handful of people to play Destiny for the first time because the rewards were good. And, you know, as somebody who is very addicted to Destiny, I was like, oh, please, please, I want, because you got exclusive rewards as the person who referred. So I think this is fine. I'd be curious how good the rewards become after they're done beta testing Australia.
Yeah, I will say that in classic Niantic / Pokemon Go fashion, their timing on this is completely off.
Yeah.
Because literally, I could have referred your wife and gotten a bunch of prizes because she hasn't touched Pokemon Go in forever, except for the Kanto tour, which happened last month. And wrecked all these people who are like, I haven't touched Go in years, but man, I can 151 it and get back in. Well, now all those people are wiped out. No longer options for me.
My wife's an interesting Go player. There's plenty of Pokemon.
She only plays when you make her.
That is not true.
I could have a built-in. My husband used to play. I could probably refer him.
There you go.
Say, you need
there
to do things.
I'm the only single person in this program.
No, see, Irene will open Go, she'll play Go, she'll catch certain Pokemon, if it's like an Oshawott, a Banary, you know, she's all about catching those or tapping on those, but if it's like a Barboach, even if she doesn't have it for the Dex, she's like, I'm not catching that, I have no, like...
I mean, selective, she makes choices, yeah.
Speaking of...
Making choices.
Tynamo, Mega Manectric, and Therian form Thundurus are coming in the first ever electric. How is this the first ever electric type themed event? Okay.
They haven't had an electric type themed event before. That's how.
Isn't every Pikachu with a hat an electric type theme event?
I mean,
not if it doesn't include Tynamo, one of Will Anderson's favorite Pokemon.
This will be from March 16th to Tuesday, March 16th to Monday, March 22nd. Electric-type Pokemon featuring Alolan Geodude, Voltorb, Electrike, Stunfisk, and more appearing in the wild. Tynamo making its Pokemon Go debut. The following Electric-type Pokemon will be hatching from 5K eggs. Pichu, Elekid, Electrike, Shinx, Joltik, Tynamo, and Stunfisk. Event type research will get you Pokeballs, Ampharos, Mega Energy, Manectric Mega Energy, and encounters with more electric-type Pokemon. Timed research is available. The following Pokemon will be in raids. Your Voltorbs, your Shinx, Blitzel, Klink, and Tynamo in 1-star raids. Alolan Raichu, Alolan Graveler, Magneton, Ampharos in 3-star raids. And Therian form Thundurus will appear the first time in 5-star raids. Mega Evolved Manectric also known as Mega Manectric. Wow, what a weird sentence. They probably have to do that. Mega Evolved Manectric, all otherwise known as Mega Manectric. Got a TMR, get that branding copyright. Will be making its Pokemon debut in Mega Raids. Mega Houndoom, Mega Abomasnow will also be appearing in Mega Raids at this time. And there's a bonus. Your bonus is you will have a higher chance of receiving evolution items when opening gifts during this period. Evolution items? Oh, is that like King's Rock?
Sinnoh stones, Unova stones.
Dragon scales.
We need more stones in this game. You know what this game is lacking?
Stones.
I really love having 20 dragon scales to evolve just Seedra.
am I going to find Tynamo in the wild, or do I have to do it in raids?
It does say Tynamo will be appearing in the wild.
Yes.
Okay, good.
But let's be real. You're probably going to have to raid for it.
Yeah, you're going to have to raid for it.
That's not fair.
Appearing in the wild, keep your eye out for Tynamo, meaning this is not going to be there. Keep an eye out for the raids that are going to have it in it.
Better stock up on incubators.
That's all you're going to find.
I also only have 14 Blitzel candy, so this is going to be a good time.
Zebstrika.
It's Zeb striking.
Sure. I didn't see anyone talk about this. This is off Pokemon Go Live as well. Great East Japan Earthquake on the 10th Memorial Day. Trainers, Niantic's mission is to inspire people to explore the world together. I do like exploring the world. Hopefully that will be a possibility by the end of this year.
Together.
Together I can take or leave. Exploring the world, though. Over the past few years, we have provided opportunities for people to visit the Tohoku region through Ingress and Pokemon Go. Hey, spoiler, they do Ingress events. Now, in remembrance of the Great East Japan earthquake 10 years ago, we are recreating the rediscovery memories and local business of the Tohoku program with local government and institutes of Awate, and then a bunch of other Japanese cities I will try not to butcher here.
Miyagi and Fukushima prefectures.
This program will benefit 100 store owners in each prefecture for 6 months at no charge, and encourage the local communities to explore their hometowns and support businesses there.
Prefecture.
Prefecture?
Prefecture. Yeah. Okay. There's no I in there.
Wasn't, you know, prefecture. It's probably not actually a word.
Correct.
Maybe not.
It could be.
No. No.
I mean, what do you call the hole you make in the wall before you put the fixture in?
That's a pre-fixture. A pre-fixture. You are now becoming like the person who will remain nameless who said to me that the Star Wars character's name was C-3PO.
Yeah.
And I was like, you are a crime of language.
Is that his name? The emphasis on the wrong syllable.
His name is C-3PO.
C-3PO. C-P-3-O?
Oh, no, go away. Go away. Go away. You're even worse.
Do not get me started on Star Wars.
I'm going to call the Little Mermaid witch lady and have her steal C-3PO.
C-3PO.
Is that correct, Greg?
Yes.
Yes, it's C-3PO.
I am just as Star Wars as Greg. If only 2 years off, I was there for the premiere.
Yeah, but it's more my brand than yours. Your brand is skateboarding and looking cool.
Rod
my brand is nerdy Star Wars crap.
Looking cool is a bit debatable.
This press release is pretty long, but it is cool. It is cool that Niantic is supporting.
So basically, this is March 11th, what I believe is the anniversary of the big earthquake and
was that also the tsunami?
Wave. Yes.
Yeah.
They go hand in hand.
We raised money for that back in the day. That was like our first charity on the podcast we ever did. I think we were pretty small. We raised like $100, but
still better than zero. But so the intent is to get people to like visit the downtowns of the areas that were affected a decade ago. Is that like,
yeah.
Yeah.
What the goal of the program is. Okay. I will book my flight now.
Yeah,
Pokemon Go, you have inspired me.
I need to get a passport.
Oh, dag nabbit.
Yeah, it's
my application still sitting there on the floor.
I know. I have the one that lets me get into Mexico and Canada that's part of my new driver's license, but I don't think that's going to get me to Japan.
Such a Minnesota thing. We don't have that on the East Coast. Don't tell them about it.
Final bit of Pokemon Go news here is Pokemon Go now shows possible content of its loot box style eggs. I think this is also... did this go live for everyone? I remember it was like a slow rollout. I know Australia got it first. Of course they did.
I haven't looked. So if I look at my egg, it's supposed to tell me what could be in there?
What? Yeah. Yeah. I hatch eggs every day. What are you talking about?
This is a get-around gambling, tap on, isn't it?
Yeah, mine's not live yet. I got nothing for my eggs here.
I mean, I actually have to like pay attention to what's going on in the game?
No.
No, you don't have to. So when you tap on an egg, it says clicking on an egg. Tap on an egg, it will show the table of contents, which differ between egg types and regularly change as the game cycles through specific Pokemon. How likely you are in the position of 5 rarities, level 1, by having 1 egg symbol appears to be the most common, and then 5 being the most rare. We'll have, so if a Pokemon has 5 eggs, that means it's the most rare. No probability listed. No suggestions on how much rarer one is. But you at least see what could possibly be in the egg. So in the example here, it has 1 egg is a Geodude, and then the 2 eggs, so these are slightly more rare than Geodude, would be Meowth, Stunfisk, Sandshrew, Diglett, the other Meowth, Grimer, Farfetch, and then Ponyta, and then Alolan Vulpix would be more rare than that, and then
So what? One's Meowth and the other Meowth. One is Alolan Vulpix. Okay.
Okay.
And then Galarian, a Zigzagoon is 4 out of 5, which means it's more rare than those. And then the rarest one here, I can't. What is in this picture? What is it? Oh, 5 out of 5 would be the Galarian Darumaka, which is the ice type one.
Okay, we have to talk about this. So I have.
Yeah, I don't have this at all in my game.
I don't have it, but I do have a Galarian Darumaka.
Hold on. I have 6 eggs that are from Minnesota that when I click on them, don't have it. I have 1 7K egg that I got from a gift in New York.
Oh, it's probably your newer eggs have it.
And that one has it. No, it can't be because I got this New York egg is older.
Oh, yeah, because I haven't hatched an egg in like the last week.
Yeah, I have a March 8th, 2021 from Royal Palm Beach. Wow, that sounds like a fancy place. Royal Palm Beach, Florida, and it doesn't have it.
No, but this one is from March, and the other ones are from February. So,
isn't it amazing place names? I have one from Royal Palm Beach, Florida, and I'm like, wow, what an incredibly fancy, incredible place that must be. And then the next one right next to it is from South Elgin, Illinois, and that just sounds like where the sewage treatment plant is.
I mean, Elgin is not a great area.
I have one from Canada. That has to be fancy. It's probably a Stantler, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a bunch of Team Rocket
eggs.
Do you
have any? So it must be March eggs that are showing them, and not
none of my eggs.
From Royal Palm Beach is from March, so
yeah, they said March eggs, March.
But it doesn't have it.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying.
I see what you're saying.
But mine does. Weird.
Niantic tweeted on March 11th saying trainers were excited to share that we're testing where a limited number of trainers will be able to see Pokemon hatch in their inventory. Trainers will be able to test by tapping on an egg to see the list of possible Pokemon and rarity. Please note, this will not show if Pokemon may be shiny. I like how they had to include that, because I'm sure people were asking. Yeah, this is fine. There's, like, this Pokemon Go is, like, the last Pokemon mobile game to reveal odds. Because Pokemon Duel had odds, and Pokemon Masters has, like, you can tap on it, you can see Leon as a 1%, or, you know, Eliza is like a 2%. So Pokemon Masters is very forward about the odds. But Pokemon Masters is also a loot-based game.
Yeah.
I do think the eggs are also loot-based, but you could make the argument, which I'm sure is the argument Niantic makes. I'm not saying it's a good argument, but it is an argument where the egg is already determined once you get it. You're not rolling for anything else. You're just using a key, which is the incubator, to open it, which I think is what Counter-Strike does. I think you buy keys to open boxes.
What is Counter-Strike?
Yeah, it's like the Call of Duty, but for good people.
Oh, so I'm a bad people now?
I don't know. I've never played Counter Strike.
We already said it at the start of the show.
It's not. It's like it's no Valorant.
I mean, that's a real. It's real weak, but sure.
I mean, I don't think it holds up once the UK does something, but I don't know if this, because the whole reason that loot boxes need to be disclosed now is because of UK laws, not US laws.
Well, and I'm sure there's somebody out there who could make the argument that I have to pay for incubators to hatch these eggs, so you have to tell me what the chances are right. of getting a good one, so I don't waste my paid for incubators on not good chances eggs. It's like transition of fungibility of the money.
I'm just curious if this egg system of like the 5-to-1 is good enough for what the UK law is asking for.
I mean, that's odds.
I mean, it's odds.
Yeah, but we don't know how, like, what does 5 out of 5 mean for Darumaka? We don't know if that's a 1%, a 2%.
I'm sure that's published somewhere.
It's hidden in the terms and conditions that nobody reads.
Yeah.
Last thing before we take a break here is I wanted to give a TCG update. The McDonald's Pikachu card.
It's worth $5 million now?
No. So when it initially came out, it was worth about $80. I was watching a couple auctions before the start of stream. This one ended literally 15 minutes ago. And the winning bid was $40 with free shipping. So it looks like it's dropped in price by half. I don't know at this point, because I haven't been to a McDonald's in a while. Spoiler. I don't know if... Does McDonald's still have these cards?
I don't know.
You're literally asking the wrong person.
Yeah, I don't know if...
supplies are limited.
Yeah, I mean, once they run out, they run out. But I'm curious if, because they were restricting, you must buy a Happy Meal to get a card. Well, depending on your McDonald's, because every McDonald's is different. I wonder if that kept more in stock, and if now they're at a point where they just don't care anymore, of like, okay, we don't have scalpers driving up every day. So if you want some Happy Meals, here's some Happy Meals. I should test that. I should go to McDonald's this week and see if I can.
So from what I had understood from the internet, and I am very much a cursory observer of the internet, I am not wholeheartedly invested in that particular technology. I had heard that people have moved on from Happy Meals to cereal boxes.
Yes, they've been tearing open cereal boxes left and right.
What a great transition, Will. This is off Pokemon.com. 3-card Pokemon TCG booster packs in General Mills cereal boxes. Go cuckoo for the Pokemon TCG cards with General Mills for a limited time.
Greg, do you know somebody who's over there at General Mills?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure I'm going to have to check to see who's still there, because, you know.
If you are looking for an excuse to eat delicious cereal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I'm reading this off Pokemon.com.
Yes, I am.
The Pokemon trading card game is dishing... there's a lot happening.
There's a lot happening.
Somebody who wrote this had the time of their life. The Pokemon trading card game is dishing up the perfect opportunity. For limited time, select General Mills cereals, including Golden Grahams, Trix, Cocoa Puffs, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and Lucky Charms, will have a special 3-card Pokemon TCG booster pack. Each pack will contain 1 foil Pikachu card and 2 additional cards. In total, there are 14 unique collectible cards. Although the Galarian Pony... I didn't know this. This is the breaking news here. Breaking news. The Galarian Ponyta card will only be available in family-sized cereal boxes at Walmart.
Oh, version exclusive.
This mouth-watering opportunity is to celebrate 25 years of Pokemon while eating your favorite cereal, and it's only available for a limited time. I don't want to go to Walmart.
All right.
Nobody wants to go to Walmart. That's why it's exclusive there, to force you to go to Walmart.
Plenty of people have a fine time at Walmart. Let's not be Minneapolis biased here.
Look, there's a Target.
The real concern and now conspiracy that I have uncovered in researching this particular topic, I have gone to the General Mills website. to find out what are the General Mills cereals, especially because I wanted to find out if Cocoa Puffs, because they did use the Go Cuckoo for blah, blah, blah.
They did say that, yeah.
Okay. So they have a list of the cereals that they produce.
Mm-hmm.
It does not include Cocoa Puffs. It does not include Reese's Puffs. But it does include a cereal I've never heard of called Cascadian Farm.
Where are you looking?
Do you know GeneralMills.com.
Do you know what's weird? Is they released a Pokemon cereal. It just says Pokemon in big letters. It's a red box. There's Pikachu on it. And then in very small font, it's called like Berry Burst, I think. So the cereal is called Berry Burst or something like that. Berry Explosion. I don't know. But there's no cards in that. It's just...
because it's not a General Mills cereal.
Yeah, but they put a cereal on shelf. I bought said cereal. I have not tried it yet. It looks like Captain Crunch, but with marshmallows. It looks like Oops All Berries with marshmallows.
This is so confusing. This is such a...
We're looking at... What are we looking at?
I'm doing the deep research, man. I'm going in. I'm on the dark net.
So I wanted the Pikachu card. So and look, that article was very flavorful. There was a lot of buzzwords.
Pokemon cereal is a General Mills cereal. Pokemon Berry Bolt is
Berry
General
Bolt.
Mills. What are they doing?
There's no cards in the Berry Bolt. But there's a Pikachu on the cover. Yeah, I have an actual serious question here.
Oh gosh.
People collect a lot of Pokemon things. People collect, everything. Star Wars, Barbie, Beanie Babies. Yep. In a situation like this, if I'm a Pokemon collector and I bought Berry Bolt, that's probably not good to leave food in cardboard for 20 some years.
It's in a plastic bag.
It's in a plastic bag in the cardboard box.
Yeah, but what if you have what if you live
in
New York?
Sealed thing.
What if you live in New York and you have rats? The rats will figure it out.
Put it in the sealed plastic.
Only rats, New York, rats only live in New York, correct.
Yes, one rat.
There's not a single rat in Milwaukee.
Two?
True.
Two, Pikachu is a mouse on the cover. Rats would find the cereal, eat through the cardboard, and eat through the plastic.
They'd see the huge electric mouse and be scared away.
Heck no.
I'm not messing with that dude's Berry Bolts. Mm-mm-mm.
Do you, look, how, okay, okay, the question I'm asking is, how do we get a PSA 10 Pikachu box? Do we put it in, do we send it to PSA? Do they put it in like a
You put it in a plexiglass container.
This is not the first time people have collected cereal boxes.
Truly not.
There
truly
was
not.
A limited amount of Ghostbuster cereal back in the day
that
people have put into plastic containers and kept forever. There's a number of limited editions.
But you probably don't want to keep it outside of a container because...
No,
because
it will rot.
It'll go bad, and it's cardboard. If you get a little damp, a little moisture.
Although I have watched people eat 30-year-old cereal on YouTube that they bought off
of
eBay.
Don't do it. But here's... Okay, I have so many questions now. Number one, Mr. Surumi.
Mm-hmm.
If I am a... collector, and I'm saying I am emphasizing that I am a collector of items.
The audio version of the show, there's a lot of the finger things.
Yes. I make an effort to preserve the items that I am collecting in the manner in which they need to be preserved. So if I'm collecting cereal in boxes, I'm not going to leave it someplace where it's going to get wet. Basic.
Yeah.
Okay. This is another question I have here because you're just not understanding the concept of
No, I am. I'm just thinking of the New Day cereal. The wrestlers, the New Day. They put out
which
cereal.
You put in a plexiglass container and keep in your
freezer.
Right now, correct?
I think they're in a cardboard box in my basement, which is probably not good. If there's anywhere.
No, not in the basement.
Is the last
That's
place
where
for
they
collecting
come in.
Things.
That's where the rats
they
come
know
in.
They don't live down there.
I think
That's
of the rat.
The chuds come in.
I think of the rat situation because of, this podcast is off the rails. Okay, so
trust me, I still have some more questions.
Okay. So I think of the rat situation because it was in Wisconsin, we get snow. This might be unusual to people who don't live in the north part of the United States. We get snow. We got a lot of snow. And behind me are some low-income apartments. you know, those the people there are very nice. I know most of them that live there, but they don't really have like an apartment manager, low income. It's like some dude who comes by like once a month to collect rent and to like mow the grass, right?
Yeah.
So during the winter, the guy who's supposed to look after this property, he like brought
groundskeeper.
He brought his truck through to plow the alley and to plow the parking lot, but he didn't shovel out the garbage cans. So when the garbage men would come once a week, because there was not an easy way to get to the garbage bins, they didn't pick up the garbage. And this happened for 5 weeks in a row of not picking up garbage. And then eventually, about a week and a half ago, Wisconsin got up to 50 degrees for like 3 days in a row. So he didn't have to shovel because the snow melted. And then you saw the glorious leftovers of what was happened. And then the garbage men eventually picked up the garbage. But once it got super nice out and all the snow went away, and when you pull out of the alley at 2 a.m., you go, oh, there's a lot of rats over there.
Oh, they just came on vacation from New York. Yeah, they were like, finally, yeah. It's our time. Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised the raccoons didn't go first.
I think the rats at this point are bigger than the raccoons.
Nah, they work together.
True. They sort through the things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stop. I have put in chat the Amazon.com listing for a cereal box container.
Oh, I might buy this.
You can put your cereal
you
box.
Need it. You need it.
$32.
You also
That will pay for your children's college.
I want it. Okay,
it's worth it.
I'm looking at the cereal box holder, sports memorabilia display case. I would like a box, or plexiglass glass box, whatever. That is like perfect fit. That is very satisfying. You don't want any like wobble, like when you're collecting like a Nintendo 64 game. You would want that plastic to like fit perfectly over it. You don't want it to shake.
I mean, there are multiple options listed up at the top. Okay, I just chose one.
In your curatorship of your fine collection.
Yeah.
Where spend the $5 on the do not touch sign. So people aren't picking things up, shaking them, and causing them to wobble.
The other dilemma is, do I really care about collecting cereal?
Okay, are you a collector or are you a collector?
Back to the cereal.
Are you in the collecting life or are you a poser?
Well, and there's also the set of people who collect Pokemon items and the set of people who collect cereals, and this is where they intersect. But I have to get back to this. Greg.
Yes.
You have a sibling.
I do.
You existed in the 70s, much like I did.
Yep.
So for the youth of our nation, it's Greg and Will education time. Mm-hmm. There have been, I would say, three phases of prizes is the word we will use. Prizes in cereal.
Mm-hmm.
So, Greg, in the 70s, the prize used to actually be in the cereal. The prize could choke you.
Yes.
But it was something plastic that was in the box of cereal.
That was usually at the bottom of the actual packet of cereal.
Well, okay.
And not necessarily in its own plastic, yes.
True. Policy, what was the policy in your home? In my home, the policy was the child whose bowl of cereal the prize fell into is the one who got the prize.
I don't know that we had an official policy. That I can remember. I think it was just a free-form fight. We used to beat on each other, and I almost always lost.
But
usually it was something that my brother didn't want, so I almost always got it.
There you go. Second phase of prizes in cereal history, they stopped putting the prizes in the boxes of cereal because too many people choked on them. You had to send in, cut off the top of the cereal box, send it in. 5 to 6 weeks later, you'd get something in the mail. This was the true end of prizes.
Yeah, that
cereal.
Was the worst.
We
that
are
was
now
the worst.
To modern times because supposedly Steve obtained Pokemon cards in a box of cereal.
I bought the Trix. That's all they had at Target. They didn't have the Golden Grahams. They didn't have. Well, I gotta go back to this article. What were the
Mr. Sarumi?
They okay.
Tricks are for kids.
Point of order, Mr. Sarumi.
You better
tricks are for children, and you are not, according to your driver's license, a child. Explain yourself.
Tricks are for kids. How you are taking cereal from these Poor children.
I have taken the McDonald's cereal cards from these kids. I have taken the cereal.
Designed for only kids' nutritional requirements.
They have Golden Grahams, Trix, Cocoa Puffs, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and Lucky Charms. I probably would have got the Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
No.
Really?
Golden Grahams and Cinnamon Toast Crunch are bad cereals.
Okay, all right. We need to rate these cereals.
The only two that are good.
But wait. Before
and Lucky
answer
Charms.
Me this question. How were the cards deployed in the box of cereal?
I haven't opened it yet.
Oh, you're waiting for an unboxing video. Nice.
Schrodinger's cereal.
I think in the 90s,
they started putting them outside of the cereal, but is still in the box.
Outside of the cereal, the plastic, but in between the cardboard.
Yeah.
Less of a choking
I think
hazard.
So.
Which is how people are ripping open boxes in the actual stores and going in and taking the cards out and still leaving a product that you could technically buy.
Horrible. Horrible.
But nobody's going to touch that box because we don't know if you injected acid into the plastic through a syringe and are ready to kill us all.
You know, now that these shows are on YouTube, I think of certain words you guys say, and then I think, oh, we're instantly getting demonetized. Oh, you said the word syringe. Oh, it's done for now. No, I just say that because YouTube YouTube's really good at picking up words in videos. Like, their algorithm is very good. Anyways.
Well, beep this, YouTube.
We have Golden Grahams, Trix, Cocoa Puffs, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Lucky Charms. Lucky Charms at the bottom of the list.
What?
What? No.
Lucky
Charms Toast Crunch is like, I could have had cinnamon toast. I could have made the toast to put the butter and the cinnamon. It would have been delicious.
It would have been much better.
A little bit of sugar.
Okay, the official ruling is Trix, Lucky Charms, Cocoa Puffs, Golden Grahams, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
What?
Golden Grahams are so bottom of the list.
I said it was official.
Ooh,
I don't even know what Golden...
They do not taste like graham crackers.
What the heck
they
is
don't
Golden
like
Grahams?
It's supposed to be like honey on graham crackers, and it's not. It's just bad.
There's not a picture here on Pokemon.com.
But it is still slightly better than Cinnamon Toast Crunch, which is horrific.
Is this like a early 80s things? Did you guys have like childhood horror of Cinnamon Toast Crunch? That cereal rocks.
It tastes bad.
What? It tastes like cinnamon flavored cardboard. Trix has flavor.
Yes. Well, Trix had more flavor before they removed the sugar.
Everything had more flavor before they removed the sugar.
Once again, you can go back to what we used to do in the 70s, which was like, it didn't matter how much the sugar... The cereal came with. You spoonful of sugar on top of your cereal.
Mary Poppins told me to do it.
I mixed it in because the milk was obviously too not sugar.
I don't remember Cocoa Puffs. Does Cocoa Puffs rip up your mouth like Captain Crunch did?
No.
No.
Nothing rips up your mouth like Captain Crunch does.
Oh, it's such
Captain
a good
Crunch
rip,
is the original mouth wrecker.
Lucky Charms would have been probably my number one or number two, but when they removed the sugar... Like, the marshmallows are good. Like, if there was a cereal of just Lucky Charms marshmallows, I'm all in. I'd eat it easy.
Oops, all marshmallows.
But the oat-based whatever things that they have are so flavorless and so dry nowadays that it's just not good.
If the bottom of your cereal bowl isn't a thick sludge of milk and sugar like we used to do in the 70s, you
100%.
Are not eating your cereal correctly. You would get to the bottom and you'd be like stirring the sludge because you got milk sugar to eat.
Yeah, I mean, I would do that for like Cheerios because you needed sugar on your Cheerios.
Yeah, absolutely. And you still do. You still do. No, but the marshmallows make up for the fact that the other part of Lucky Charms is forgettable. That is just there for texture.
Yeah, but other cereals have the marshmallows with it. So then you think, well, I'm taking the best part of Lucky Charms. Like the Boltberry, I haven't had it yet, but it has the Lucky Charms marshmallows.
Wait, were you the kind of person that would pick out all the marshmallows and leave the actual nutrition in the bowl of Lucky Charms?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're a horrible person. You're a horrible person.
Oh, when I was like 8 years old.
This is how you ended up the way you are.
Yeah.
When I was like 8 years old, you busted out two bowls. And then you poured the cereal in one, and then you moved the marshmallows to the other bowl. And then when you were done, you poured back the nutrition into the box.
Oh, that's why all of your brothers and sisters hate you.
I was doing them a favor by giving them nutrition.
I have one more mystery here, which this has now set me down the path of. I cannot determine from the internet whether Cookie Crisp is still made or not.
No, I think it's still made.
Because that was a good cereal.
Can you count?
Like, see,
okay, are you... Well,
you would literally eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch over Cookie Crisp?
Let me tell you the best cereal.
I mean, Cookie Crisp is still made by General Mills.
This is the best cereal. And if you guys disagree,
they don't have a website for it.
We'll have to permanently end the show.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now.
The best cereal is Count Chocula.
What? I don't like chocolate.
Oh, my gosh.
No, Booberry's the best.
Booberry's pretty good, too.
But you can only get that at certain times of the year.
That's because it's that good.
Nothing topped Fruit Brute. Fruit Brute was the best.
I got to go to Walmart.
Yet, discontinued.
How much is this Ponyta card on eBay? I don't want to go to Walmart.
Plus, you need four of them.
Because I'm running a Ponyta deck.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. It's like, you can't buy Cookie Crisp in a store. You can only order it online. It's like a boutique cereal now that they have to like special make for you when you order it.
That sounds nice. Sounds fancy.
I miss Yummy Mummy too. Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy were so good.
You think if the cereal was sitting on your front porch in a box, the rats would get it?
Yes.
No. So.
How long is it out there for?
Rats and mice don't like things that are new. It needs to have been there for a while so that they assume that nobody's going to touch it.
They're very polite. That's right.
They're very skittish.
It's polite. It's like, I will let everyone else have an opportunity to enjoy this. Oh, nobody else is going to have it? Are you sure?
This is how I unfortunately learned that one of my Pokemon packages from one of the Pokemon events apparently had a cookie in it that I had forgotten about for roughly 10 years because I found the package and the mice were having a grand old time eating that Pokemon cookie.
Oh, that's my biggest fear, is mice or rats in the house.
Your biggest fear?
You have mice in your house right now.
Maybe.
Everybody does. Whether or not they come into your home is to search for food. I mean, you have three cats.
So maybe not.
You may never see them. I have two dogs who love to hunt mice, and they're very bad at it.
Well, speaking of being bad, let's take a break.
Nice.
And when we come back, we will talk a little bit more about Pokemon news.
We will be doing a retrospective and analysis of the entire bibliography of Great Bradbury. Right? Correct?
Yes.
Ray Bradbury. He's a science fiction author, but like more of like a literary science fiction author. I think he also did the Martian Chronicles, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And we are back. We don't have a lot of news here, but the first bit of news we have is Korean news. We actually don't know a lot about it, but there was an event in Japan called the Phantom Challenge, and the Phantom Challenge allowed you to get a Genesect, a Volcanion, and a Marshadow in Pokemon Sword and Shield, and it was... The way you would get that is by going to like 7-Eleven in Japan and buying stuff, or going to the Pokemon Center and buying stuff. I think there were some other stores that participated. But like if you bought a pack of cards, you would get like 4 points. And if you bought like tea, like a tea packet at 7-Eleven, you would get 1 point. And I think the tea was like 80 yen. So that was like the cheapest way to get 1 point. You would go to this website on pokemon.co.jp. You would redeem the points, and then the points would give you Genesect, Volcanion, Marshadow. There was Master Ball. It would give you Safari Ball, Sports Ball, other apricorn balls, dianite ore, armorite ore. I made a whole YouTube video about it on how you can make an account, redeem the points. I also suggested a couple of eBay sellers you could go to because, of course, if you didn't have a friend in Japan that was sending you codes, there was some stuff you could import to get the codes as well. Like you could import Shiny Star V. Shiny Star V packs would have the codes, so you could get both cards and codes. Anyways, that video is on YouTube. The Phantom Challenge in Japan goes until April 30th, so you still have time if you want to get those Pokemon. But the Phantom Challenge is coming to Korea now. They said coming soon, so there's not an actual start date, but it is the same Genesect, Volcanion, Marshadow. I don't know if this Phantom Challenge event will come to the United States. If it does, it would probably not be go to 7-Eleven and buy something for points. We've never really had that sort of system. At least the Marshadow and the Volcanion are pretty sought after Pokemon. Genesect, not so much because Genesect was in Pokemon Go for a very long time. It came back quite frequently. You can catch as many Genesect as you want for a low, low price of $1 a raid pass, and then you could transfer those into your Pokemon home. But Volcanion and Marshadow, not so much. I would expect maybe this coming week or next week they'll reveal more details for the Korean event. Also, I just didn't know that PokemonKorea.co.kr is just a whole website. They got their own Pokemon Center.
Wouldn't it be?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I just don't really think of it. They're up to date with Pokemon news. They got the TCG Pokemon Go cross news on their website. They got the Zarude movie. They're doing their own thing.
Do they have a release date for this Zarude movie in Korea?
No, they don't. Not that I know of it. Well, I mean, also, I'm not very good at reading Korean.
I tried to learn.
They just, on the website, it just says 2021, so.
That's this year.
Still don't know when we're getting the Zarude movie.
Technically, they have about 9.5 months left.
Some other news off Pokemon Center is that they released it's already sold out. They released a $250 Charizard figure. It's Charizard Rising Flames figure by First Four Figures. It was a pre-order. It is a very big statue. It looks like you need two hands to hold it. And it's coming in November. You pre-ordered it on the website. It's 12 inches tall. It has an 8.5-inch base. It will light up and be powered by USB. And there's a little button to light it up. It's made by the company who makes it is First Four Figures. I don't know what else they make.
Never heard of them before.
But this was not the... What was that Skyla statue was like, what, 130? And it didn't sell out that quick. I don't think it sold out at all.
Because Skyla is not Charizard.
Yeah, I mean, that's really where the conversation was leaning. I mean, as much as there are vocal people that dislike Charizard, there are way too many people that love Charizard that just, they don't care.
This statue is not good. No. And you know what's funny is, like, I'm sure it's sold out with a bunch of people who are going to put it on eBay and they don't understand the rule of, like, real collectibles that people go wild for are usually the ones that are easily portable, not something that weighs 10 pounds and you'd have to hold in two hands.
Yeah, I guess, like, skateboards did pretty well resale-wise.
Once again, very lightweight, easy to carry around.
You think... A skateboard weighs less.
You don't even
have
to carry it. You can ride it around.
Proves you're a shredder.
I'm trying to see if there's any... I found the N figure. The N figure was sold out. I'm pretty sure that was $130 when it was up. Here's the Skyla one. Skyla out of stock. But it was in stock for quite a while. They don't have any other big statues here we can compare this Charizard to. They have this Nendoroid. The Nendoroid Trainer Red Champion version. Still in stock.
Oh, I remember that.
$100.
There you go.
Here's
the real question.
On the Nendoroid stuff.
Do I buy this Celebration reversible jacket?
No, it's really bad.
No.
If there's anything from the Celebration stuff that's like decent, it's that Power A case for $20. It's under new releases. It's like right next to the Charizard. That jacket is awful. Are you kidding me, Greg? It's that jacket that would go like when you walk.
Yeah. Oh, I love those.
Yeah.
Though. That's called a windbreaker, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want that.
I mean, here's the thing. I say this knowing that you can wear windbreakers for exactly 1 week out of the year in Minnesota. It is an event-only situation.
No, this is way too flashy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should have got that.
You would literally
jacket.
Wear it on like the.
I would wear it on community days. You know, I would.
But you would also only ever wear it where it's like the black side with the little Pikachu 2.5 on the breastplate.
No. Nah.
You would never wear the silver and black with the huge Pikachu.
You clearly don't. You clearly don't know how I wear things.
You gotta.
I when I say you, I mean me.
Yeah, I would wear the shiny. Off
you
got
to get the Pokemon Celebration gray fitted tank top. So you can show your guns.
Ooh, I do like tank tops. Ooh. My guns have been suffering lately.
My guns are terrible right now. Oh, I don't like the thing on the front, though.
It's the Pikachu face.
Yeah, it's too big.
Too big.
I mean, I like this model, though. It is too big. Too big of a design on a tank top.
Yeah, I couldn't wear that at the gym.
There are too many questions that are coming out of that. The smaller one, you know, people can look at it and just sort of nod while they're flexing in the mirror, and you can nod back. Okay, here's the next question. Do we buy the Pokemon Celebration Express electric model train? It's
no.
A Lionel train, though.
No.
I mean, Lionel trains are normally $300, $400.
Yeah, because they are quality.
I feel like in order to own a train like that, I need a living room so big. Or, you know, when you walk into somebody's house and they just have a bunch of empty space because it's like the foyer and then they have like this grand staircase going up and then you can see like
the
fancy rooms and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I need a space like that.
No, what you need is a house with a mostly finished basement and you take one of those rooms and that is your Pokemon collectible room. You have the train in the center, you have your cereal boxes on one walls, you have your plushies on the others, and when you bring somebody down and you have the door shut, you say, are you ready to see something special? And then you throw open the door and they faint from excitement.
Yes,
that is how you do it.
I think maybe train collectors are worse than Pokemon collectors. They gotta pay like $150 for like a little model tree to sit next to their train.
I mean, it depends on how you define worse than,
yeah.
But
I think it's a way more expensive hobby.
Oh, it's a way more expensive hobby.
Like, hands down, like, people who collect model trains, their wallets
but
are crying.
They are building entire models of their hometowns piece by piece. They are taking pictures of you at night so they can model your likeness in the city.
Mm-hmm.
They are the most committed of all collectors, and that doesn't come cheap.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Did you buy the Appleton plush yet?
No, it sold out instantly. Unless it's back in stock.
It's out of stock.
Oh, okay. You got me excited for a minute. I was like, I'll buy it right now on air if it's in stock. We got a little time this week to do do a couple questions of the week. So we're going to jump over to our Addict channel from our Slack community from Patreon. Addict from the Slack. Slack from the Patreon. This is from Brand. Oh, sorry. Greg. Greg, question of the week, Greg.
I mean, we could just go into it. It's fine.
No. It's not fine.
All right. I want the question of the week. Yeah.
Is that like jazz?
Yeah.
Sounded a little jazzy.
What Pokemon-related fad have you not been able to understand no matter how hard you try?
How are we defining fads?
I mean, the whole Pokemon thing overall is a fad.
Yeah. I still don't get why people are doing this break box thing. Like, you've explained it a lot of times, and I still think it sounds like a pyramid.
It is a pyramid scheme.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it, and I think that's a fad.
True.
So I'm going to pick that one so that you two can't use it.
Mm. Speaking of Greg and I were talking about this.
Yes.
Because I wanted to do, this year, I want to do a couple of charity events. We had a lot of success with the two charity events we did last year. We did the Color for Change, and then we raised money for that, and then we raised money for Starlight. And I think breakboxes are cool in the concept of how I explained it in my YouTube video of, like, me and Will decided to go on our breakbox instead of going to Target and buying packs. We can save money. We go into a breakbox. Very cool. And people do like opening Pokemon cards. So I was thinking for some charity events in the future, we could do a breakbox, but instead of you buying into a pack, you're just donating to charity. And if you donate to charity, I will open a pack in your name, and then I will send you the cards and when it's done.
So then you're buying the pack.
No, but I'm not getting into the money. It's going right to Tiltify.
Yes. Where the money's destination does not change.
That's true. Yeah, the money's
the fact
destination.
That
not
I
true.
Receive cards from that pack that I sent you money for. Also, reminder that we are 1 year out from the 10-year anniversary of your original Pokemon art show.
It hasn't been 10 years.
That was 2012, dude.
Oh, next year will be 10 years.
Yeah.
That's what I said. We're 1 year out for the 10-year anniversary. It's time to start planning now. So it's not
what those words
you're not
in that
making
order,
those last-minute phone calls to me of, can you call the guy who manages this building because he won't give me the key to get in? And I'm like, all right, we'll put on Will Anderson business voice.
I wouldn't want people to donate to charity just to get one booster pack, though. I would want people to donate to charity because they're donating to charity.
Well, yes, that's how it works.
I mean, but they're donating to charity. People donate to charity to get all sorts of things. Anyways, that's like a tried and true fundraising thing.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm saying, like, I wouldn't want people to be like, $20 for a pack of cards. You're ripping people off. It's like, no.
Once again, it's the Pokemon Go thing. It applies in all different areas. They're donating to charity so that they can be part of the experience of you opening the break box.
Yeah, but you could argue that you're giving a YouTuber $500 to be part of an experience.
I could argue a lot of things, buddy.
You could argue that. But I mean, so I think that it's different. So there's something different when the person's like, I'm just buying it for myself and you can be a part of this. I'm running something for charity, and as part of this charity event, we're doing something unusual. That is a very different, not selfish sort of, I'm making you pay for my content to maybe get a good bag. Like,
it's like somebody who would shave their head for like $5,000 of charity. Like, it costs nothing to shave your head.
Boy,
right.
It's certainly well aware of that.
I mean, I will never do that. Don't quote me on that. No, but I think, like, you could charge a premium price because it is for charity. Like, people view, rightly so, events for charity and associated prices a lot different than this is going straight into my wallet. Like, those aren't equal things on the scale. Mm. So, I mean, people, like, there are auctions where it's like, you know, here's an edible arrangement. Retail cost is $50 and people will bid on it and it'll hit $200 because they're really using that as an entryway to get into giving to the charity. Like, it a lot of ways makes it easier for a lot of people to say, I can spend a lot of money because I'm still getting a little something out of it, but that sort of helps me overcome some resistances I might have about just, I'm just going to give these people $1,000 and feel good about myself. Like, it is just an extra way to get people into the charity because they feel like they're getting a little bit of something out of it.
Yeah.
Whereas a YouTuber's break box, they're like, I'll say your name on, who cares? I'm paying you $1,000 to say my name? No, thank you.
Hey, you might get a $2,000
and have somebody very famous do it for a lot cheaper.
You know the fad I don't really understand? No, I do understand it, though. But I also don't.
What is it?
There are fan-made Pokemon games that are super difficult.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah!
And I have just never seen Pokemon as, like, a hard game. And I say that because I do understand Pokemon. I've done a lot of raids, Dynamax adventures with people that sometimes don't understand Pokemon as well as I do.
Listen here, Storm Drain. Okay. We are not going down this pathway with you.
But okay, if I'm looking for a hard game, why would I want to play? My thought process is, if I'm looking for a hard game, why would I want to play a fan-made game that is hard when there are just hard games out there that exist?
There are varying quality of fan-made games, and I have played a couple. I've played the ones that I tend to play are where they have actually altered the Pokemon type a little bit so that they are like. Everybody sort of felt like Luxray should be Electric Dark, so I played a game where they made Luxray Electric Dark and changed the moves. So I wasn't there to play for the difficulty, because the difficulty is negligible. Like, you can overlevel everything. Mm-hmm. I usually have played those because they have done something. They have created their own unique spin on the actual Pokemon themselves and have altered the game that way. And I would like to experience that. The difficulty thing is whatever. Like, Pokemon's never ever... No turn-based leveling game is ever going to be difficult if you can over-level.
Well, I will tell... There's actually a flaw in Steve's thinking. A fundamental flaw.
It's a flaw. As always. It's a flaw for the last 32 years.
No, in this particular topic. And it's around... You're like... Why, if I'm looking for a difficult game, why would I play Pokemon? That's not where this is coming from. I will tell you a brief story. The first guy that I ever dated, his favorite band was U2. Mm. To the point that he would literally, still actually to this day, only listen to U2. He has every single U2 album. He's a member of their fan club. He goes, and whenever they're on tour, he follows them around the world. Will not listen to another band.
Hmm.
There are Pokemon fans out there who the only game that they ever want to play is Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to find another game that could possibly be more difficult. They only want to play Pokemon, and if I can get Pokemon difficult flavor... all the better, because I'm just going to play Pokemon, so give it to me in a version that's more challenging for me.
It's like, if the difficulty is, I want to lose and suffer over and over, I can just...
yes.
I can just go on Ranked Ladder, and I can lose and suffer over and over. It's in the game.
There is a different thing. There is, in certain fan games, you know, I have watched many a YouTuber do Let's Play and randomizers. There is something about a game that you know very, very well. And I watch a friend of the show, Vince. I watch Vince do randomizers for Vince's favorite game. And there's something exciting about not knowing what's going to happen in a game that you know very, very well. There is something exciting about randomizers, or a person that has changed the nature or aspects of the parts of the game, because there is a sense of, I'm going to get a bunch of surprises out of a thing that I already know really well and love, and there's a lot of excitement there. It's also why I like a lot of remakes, because sometimes they will sneak things in there that are like, oh, they changed this, or they did this a little bit different, and those sort of surprises are very exciting to me as well.
They're just like,
I think there's a lot of that in those fan-made games that are very appealing.
I do see an appeal to... I can't remember that game that Vince plays, but I've seen like Majora's Mask randomizers where they're built in a way where you can still beat it, but you know, you might do dungeons in a different order, you might get things in a different order. And if you really like that game, I guess I see that appeal, but for me, there's just so many video games out there, and I'm sure people listening to the show, they probably have like 40 games in their Steam list that they bought on sale that they never played, that...
No, I just keep buying BioShock over FYI. And over and
the
over.
Game is Time Spinner. Time Spinner.
Time
is the
Spinners.
Game. I've never played it. I've watched it a lot.
Like, if I had unlimited free time, I feel like I would just want to play other games and get that. Like, this is the first time in a really long time where I have sat down and played a different JRPG. I bought Bravely Default 2, and I've been playing through it. And the last RPG I played was Persona 5, which was, gosh, what was that, 3 years ago now? So it's very rare that I've played a different RPG that isn't Pokemon, and I play a lot of Pokemon, obviously. I play it every day on stream. But when I play those games, I just think of how dramatically different they are for Pokemon, and I see that more as a plus than going like, oh, I just changed Luxray to dark type. Isn't this game zany now? It's like, no, not really. Like,
yeah, but I mean, this is the same phenomenon. I have at least 7 streaming services that I pay for. And what am I watching again? I've restarted Legend of Korra because there is something, even though I could watch anything else, I know for a fact that I like this thing. I don't know that I'm investing time and effort and money into something that I don't like. And that's always sort of the risk of going with something new, is sometimes you don't want new. Sometimes you want comfort and have it changed a little bit.
That's fair.
Sometimes you want the special edition of Star Wars instead of the original version of Star Wars. Sometimes...
What? No! Nobody ever wants that. Stop with your controversial opinions.
Sometimes you want the prequels and not the original trilogy. They exist in the same time, and I don't think it's a fair criticism to say, oh, just play a different game if you want harder, because the impulse to play something that is very comforting and something you know well, but have it seem like a fresh new experience is something we do in a lot of other multimedia, and we don't rag on people for like, oh, you've watched Parks and Recs for the 15th time in a row. We don't look at them and say, why don't you watch The Office?
No, there are plenty of people that do that.
I mean, there are, but they're jerks.
I mean, I do that to my Twitch chat all the time. They're like, hey, Steve, why don't you watch all these animes? Why? Well, I've only seen like 3 animes. Why would I watch anything? Is it going to be better than Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood?
Yeah,
probably
some
not.
Some of them are.
No, some of them are better than...
Some of them are
better
than...
I mean, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood does set a high bar, but it is not the highest of bars.
It is not.
It's a pretty high bar in this house.
But I mean, so... If they released yet another Full Metal Alchemist that was 90% the same story, because they did this.
Yes.
That is like releasing a fan game of Pokemon. You would be tempted to watch the third version of Full Metal Alchemist because you really liked it and you're curious about what they changed.
I guess I'm in a position where I'm not ever bored with Pokemon. We literally have a to-do list of...
I'm not ever bored with Pokemon either, but sometimes I'm like, I'm making room on my list to have this experience to see if I like it.
Yeah, I just like, I have my Ribbon Quest, I have a Nuzlocke, I am trying to complete the Pokedex in Black 2, White 2. There's like,
oh, good luck with that.
Open shiny hunts.
How many years
I
have you been trying to complete that?
Gosh, it's been like 2 years. Like, I have so many things to do in Pokemon that I can't fathom trying to do a fan-made game. And a part of that, and I'm well aware, part of that is like, that's not why I come to Pokemon,
right?
Like, I feel good playing through Fire Red Leaf Green because I can move those Pokemon up throughout all
the
games.
But I mean one of your main reasons is for collecting.
Yes,
like for me, one of my main reasons is for story. So if I can get a story set in a region that I like that feels new or has been changed, that is a draw to me.
And if I wanted it to be harder, I could set those rules on myself.
And people do. That's why Nuzlocke exists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten better at the game just because of learning how to competitive battle. And I can't take that knowledge of I have a Dialga that is now electric fairy, because that just throws it all off. That doesn't, like, teach me anything.
I mean, it does.
I mean, yeah, if I was never fed an electric fairy Pokemon,
it's like saying,
I
know how to make a chocolate cake, so therefore learning how to make a lemon chiffon 3-layer cake will teach me nothing. Oh. I already know cake.
I do like lemon cake.
I love lemon cake. It's my favorite. I mean, you're not in... I mean, you're in it for very different reasons. And that's valid. Like, a fan-made game for how you enjoy consuming Pokemon means nothing to you.
Yeah.
Like, you are never going to be a person that is into playing Pokemon for the reasons why people turn to fan-made games.
Yeah. And I could play Pokemon every day. I mean, I have played Pokemon every day. And I'm still not bored with it. So I would assume that the people that turn to fan-made games are bored with the general in and out. And or they're just what you said, which I didn't think about. They don't want to try anything new.
Right. I mean, I have turned to fan-made games, and I will hardly say that I'm bored with Pokemon, but sometimes I've gone to them being like, I want to revisit this, and I want it to feel a little bit different, and I don't want to erase my current game, so I'll find a way to play this one.
Yeah, that's my thing. It's like, I never want to erase a Pokemon cartridge that I've played through, because that's my story.
Yeah, I'm the same way with that one. I have been known to buy 3 and 4 copies of a game when I'm like, I want to play it again. Like, the fact that I can create new profiles on the Switch to start the game over again has been a life changer.
Do you know X and Y is up to $50 now used?
Really?
Yeah.
That game's not good.
Well.
How much is Heart Gold Soul Silver with the Pokewalker?
With Pokewalker is 100. Probably actually closer to 120.
Wow. How much is
Platinum is 100.
Pokemon Box going for right now?
Let me see if I can probably sell it or
give it to Steve.
Oh boy. You want to sell your Pokemon Box to me, Greg?
No.
Oh, okay,
never
mind. this is
you can borrow it.
This is from Casey. With understanding that people enjoy playing differently. I didn't mean to line up these two questions. They just
Yeah, you did.
Why do people put so much weight in things like Smogon? This is an unofficial / fan generated thing, but some people look at it as actual competitive Pokemon when it's clearly not.
Boy, oh boy.
It's a good question.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing that I cannot knock Smogon for is they are a group of people that have dissected the math. They have gone through, trawled. Like, they do know what they are talking about when they are talking about how Pokemon works, how the moves work. If nothing else, their level of knowledge is very high. And when you have a high knowledge about something, people do look at you like an expert on that thing.
That's true.
So you may not like what Smogon does for rule sets. They focus on a very unique aspect of the game. They have focused on what they think better balances the game and makes the game more fun based off of how their users play it, but there is still a benefit from going to a group of people who are very, very knowledgeable in certain aspects of the game and learning from them. So by that fact alone, Smogon carries weight because they have a history of being able to do really in-depth analysis and show you the math of how they got there. That has an important place, and you can choose to follow them or not, but they are experts.
I would say, my way of saying pretty much the same thing that Greg said with a slightly different spin, is the goal of Smogon and the Smogon tiers is to create a competitive Pokemon environment where there is management of the metagame so that there actually is balance in the way that the game is played, so you don't end up like in standard VGC where the top 10 teams were pretty much all the same Pokemon, yeah. Same stats, same everything, maybe with one or two Pokemon
used to have, I used to have this feeling, but I disagree.
Okay, but no. So I would say that is the intent of Smogon. The problem that comes out of it are the number of people who then take that to mean that Smogon tiers are real Pokemon battling. Because I have literally been at Pokemon, like competitive VGC events, where I have had teams and somebody said, well, that's not allowed. And I said, if it wasn't allowed, then the rules that we downloaded onto my 3DS would have stopped me from doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't understand that Smogon is not VGC.
Right.
And VGC is its own environment.
Yeah, like Smogon has like Sand Attack Band and like Double Team Band, for example.
Yeah, and also I will say probably Smogon had more validity years ago when TPCI was not doing like seasons of VGC and altering what's and actually having ban lists. It's like they would update the VGC once a year at most versus once a month like they do now.
Yeah, when I saw this question, I'm going to go back to the first question. What Pokemon fad do you not understand how hard you try? I don't understand people who do competitive single battles. It's like, just do doubles is significantly better in so many ways.
Oh, no, rotation is significantly better.
Okay. Rotation forever.
So, like, Smogon to me is like the competitive Smash scene. They hate fun. They take everything out because Smogon is very they don't like the randomization either. Like they don't like Sand Attack and Double Team is like the obvious thing. They ban Sand Attack and they ban Double Team. These are both moves that have counters to use Aerial Ace. Aerial Ace never misses. There's plenty of moves that get around Double Team and Sand Attack. Taunt is another one. Use Taunt. But because singles is just bad, it doesn't work as well as it would in a doubles format would. Also, Dynamax. Like, if somebody Sand Attacked you six times, you can just Dynamax and you don't miss. But, like, it's weird in the sense of, I think, of other Nintendo-published games, like Mario Kart. There is probably competitive Mario Kart out there with items off completely. I just can't ever imagine doing that. So when
you just play a racing game?
Well, that's what I think when I watch competitive Smash, and I know there are people that super super love competitive Smash, but why the like Smash has items dropping and there's things on the map and people can probably, and I'm sure people have gotten really good with the items that exist and with the maps that change and stuff, but like, if you don't want any items or any randomizations, why aren't you just playing a different fighting game at this point?
Yeah, this is actually the perfect segue for me to announce my entry into the world of professional Mortal Kombat.
Okay, all right.
So I'm going to become a pro Mortal Kombat player.
but with... Gosh, I was watching a streamer the other day, and they were doing Smogon standard singles, and there was a Toxicroak that got sent out. So the player's best option was to send in a Pukumuku because the Toxicroak already swords danced. This was a single battle. And so the player blocked the Toxicroak from switching. And then the Toxicroak drain punched. And then the Pukumuku recovered. The Toxicroak drain punched. The Pukumuku recovered. And I'm not exaggerating.
Ooh, how exciting.
They were on turn 54 of their battle. Before one of the, because the Pukumuku couldn't switch out because the Toxicroak did three swords dances, which is max its physical attack, and the Toxicroak couldn't switch because it was blocked, and the Pukumuku couldn't do any damage because Toxicroak's dry skin ability didn't let Pukumuku do any damage, so it was literally drain punch, recover, drain punch, recover, until both Pokemon ran out of PP. And the streamer still lost, but it was like a 100-turn game.
That's the real 6D chess
right
there.
Why would anyone want to do that? Why would you want to spend 50-plus minutes in a Pokemon match? And every singles match is the same. We're going to set up Toxic. We're going to set up some Spikes. We're going to set up some Stealth Rocks. We're going to Protect. We're going to Protect. We're going to hope that they switch here. We're going to Swords Dance. Okay, we're going to sweep now. Like...
Nah, my Cloyster is going to rapid spin.
I mean, there are...
It's so painful to not only play, but to watch is also painful.
I mean, for you. Are people that really, really like that. Like,
who likes 54 turns?
There are people who like
to watch
and play golf. People like to watch and play golf. One of the slowest games out there.
You can watch bowling.
Yes.
You can watch bowling.
Yes.
In
I mean, there are people that enjoy that style of play. There are people who see a different level of skill in that type of play than in doubles. Like, doubles has more practical real world use if you want to go into the VGC scene. But there is something amongst a group of people who are like, we're doing singles and we're going to come up with this. And they can be marathon matches. They can be quick matches. Like, it is a different skill set that they value. You don't have to value it.
Oh, I don't.
But they do. And we know you don't.
Like, when I'm going through a Heartgold, SoulSilver, Nuzlocke, and
murdering Pokemon,
none of the gym leaders have been hard. And the things that worry me the most, and the things that I have almost lost my entire team to, is any trainer in a double battle, because they just have so many more options, and they have so much more coverage that, like, for example, Bugsy was super easy. I just used Harden like 4 times in a row on a Geodude, and then I just rock throw it after I was done setting up. Like, Bugsy couldn't touch me. Whitney was also super easy. Literally the same strategy. Just Harden like twice. Okay, if Miltank stomps or rolls out, it does like 1 to 2 damage. And then I just rock throw it. Like, every gym leader so far in this Nuzlocke has been a complete pushover. And there was one trainer in Heartgold, SoulSilver in particular. I was overleveled. I was 32 when I got to him. Both his Pokemon were 25. He had an Electabuzz and he had a Magmar. And between those two Pokemon, he could one-shot anything if I did a bad switch or if I didn't, like, target or prioritize. And if he would have knocked out 1 or 2 Pokemon, he would have knocked out my whole team. Like, I just think double battles are significantly more interesting and significantly more challenging than the single format offers. But I get why Pokemon does single format, because it is very easy on a player to understand, this is a fire Pokemon, I have a grass Pokemon, I will switch to a water Pokemon. It is a lot harder to comprehend, they have a fire and an electric. If I switch out a water Pokemon, I can do the fire, but the electric can get me. If I switch in a grass Pokemon, well, that's just a bad switch in and all together. But you know what I mean.
You need a rock ground.
Yeah, you need a rock ground. But the
what about triple battles, though?
That's where the real magic is.
That's the real. Well, what is our Pokemon of the week?
Well, last week's Pokemon of the week, we were doing easy. So I listed off that it's part of a family that includes a whole bunch of different types, but not all of the types. And it required you to be in a specific location for evolution. And then also mentioned that in one episode of the cartoon, Cynthia used one to freeze some river water because Meloetta was sick and she needed a little ice pack.
I remember this.
Or it needed an ice pack. And then Oshawott fell in love with Meloetta. That's a great episode. And the only place that you've ever been able to find one of these in the wild to catch it was in Galar. And also they have switched, and somebody debated with me over whether you use a held item, but I believe that's the official term for items that Pokemon can hold, even if they can also just be applied to evolve that Pokemon, although maybe evolution item, I don't know. Either way, you can have a Pokemon hold this particular item. You don't have to use it to evolve them, so that's why I consider it a held item. But either way, you no longer need to be in a specific location. You just apply this item, and the Pokemon evolves.
It's
Chatot!
Chatot does not evolve. Or
not with that attitude. In the Diamond and Pearl remix, it's evolving into Dynamax Mega Chatot.
Wow!
Gigantamax Chatot, Screamchat. It's Glaceon.
Easy mode. It was Glaceon. You are correct.
I officially hate its shuffle. Hate its shuffle icon.
Aw.
Do you know? Look, I've made it through the whole episode without saying anything bad about Heartgold, SoulSilver. I need to say something bad about Heartgold, SoulSilver.
I mean, it's a bad game, so.
Cannot get a Glaceon? You cannot get a Leafeon. You cannot get a Magnezone. You can't get anything in these games without trading two Diamond and Pearl.
Correct. Yep.
So even though the game restricts you from getting Gen 2 Pokemon until you beat the game, there are a few, right? You can get like Spinarak and Ladybug and Heracross and stuff, but like you want like a Houndour, you gotta wait till the end of the game. Even the Pokemon you can catch, like Magnemite or Eevee, you can't get any of the new Pokemon. I guess I'm just gonna beat the entire Elite Four with a Magneton because...
I mean, bring back National Dex.
There's nowhere in the game to evolve it. It's very, true. I didn't even think about it. It's just a...
No Ice Rock. No Moss Stone.
But I will say, getting rid of the Icy Rock and the Mossy Rock and the Electric...
It's the Ice Rock. Thank you, not the Icy
Rock. Sorry,
Ice Rock.
I think it...
Ice Rock, Ice Stone.
I think that was a good thing in Galar.
Yeah. But, I mean, they got rid of the... I mean, not everywhere had a location, right? Or did this is the first one where the location finally went
No,
away.
Galar is the first place where Glaceon exists that did not have a location. Well, except for Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
So, this is what I'm worried about for the remake. If you want to go and get a Glaceon, a Pokemon introduced in Gen 4, you don't get it until like the 7th gym. Like you can't play through.
No, I transferred in from Pokemon Home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And this, it was the same for Gen 5. If you wanted a Glaceon, you had to wait till you got to the Snowy Mountain or whatever, which I don't think you could access the whole thing until after the Elite Four because the rock was blocked.
No, he
moved on like Fridays. You had to wait till like a Friday.
Yeah.
It was like after the 6th gym, but you had to wait till Friday for him to move so you can walk to it. And then in Gen 7, you couldn't get a Glaceon until literally the cave before the Elite Four. So are they going to keep the Galar thing? This is why I get mad at remakes. This is why I don't like Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, because they went back on the HM thing, where I would probably have loved... Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, they just got rid of
the HMs.
You
wouldn't.
What do you mean they went back on the HM? There were HMs in X and Y?
Yeah, there were, but not as, like, they really, really died down the amount you used. And so I'm worried about the HMs. I'm worried that they're going to do the rock thing again, which I hope they don't do the rock thing.
I mean, they're going to do the rock thing again.
Yeah, they're probably going to do the rock thing.
I mean, just dash those hopes now.
No, I disagree. It's going to be one of the many conveniences that will be added in.
I'm not even a Glaceon fan, but if somebody really likes Glaceon, it would be nice if they could play through the game with Glaceon.
Oh, it's like every other, honestly, and I would like to see this change for Espeon, Umbreon, and Sylveon. It's like every other Eeveelution uses a rock. Let's have them all just use rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Stop with this foolishness.
Shiny Stone for Espeon, Dusk Stone for Umbreon, or Dawn Stone for Espeon.
Yeah, whatever.
Dusk Stone.
It doesn't matter. We got a lot of rocks
Umbreon.
In this game.
Literally, none of it matters. They could just
we
pick
get
a
the
rock. They could be like, give it an Oran Berry. It's going to evolve into Sylveon. Okay, cool. Whatever. It doesn't matter. The rock stuff is not great.
True.
I mean, it also depends on if they change the map at all, like what becomes available when. Like, it's who knows? We will see when we get there, but I guarantee that most likely they are keeping the rock stuff.
Mm.
And probably the AHM stuff.
Yeah.
What's also stinky is like those only work for the Eevees. They have no other purpose.
Mm-mm.
No, well, the magnetic field works
that's
for like
not
a, three
does
Pokemon.
Not do anything for Eevees. Yeah. I'm talking about the Ice Stone and the Moss Stone.
Yeah.
Did it not work? For Frostlass?
Nope.
No, not
nope.
For Frostlass.
Nope. Look, no. I've done my research.
Okay.
I was annoyed.
The Inkay stuff still makes sense. Like, you can still, everything so far in Nintendo consoles have had some gyrometer.
Gyroscope.
Yeah, that thing.
Gyroscope.
What other Pokemon is a pain to evolve? Trade Pokemon still are fine because, like, the trade stuff is still fine.
Pancham is a bit of a pain because you have to remember you have to have a dark type.
Ooh. Nah, Pancham.
Oh,
Pancham?
Yeah, that one, but that one, like, unless they've suddenly removed Dark-type Pokemon, that's fine.
I find the ones that don't do their final evolution until they're at a really high level, those tend to be very frustrating. Because I don't use Pokemon steroids, so I got to battle it out.
But you like Volcarona. That's like level 99 before it evolves.
I know. I'm aware.
You got to get Hydreigon to like level 270 before it evolves.
Exactly. Two of my favorite Pokemon right there that I had to suffer through.
Yeah, there's the electric field, which does, what, Probopass, charge a bug, and then
Magnezone.
And then I'm pretty sure they just changed Magnezone and Magnezone and charge a bug to just Thunderstone. I'm pretty sure. I've never evolved a Magneton in Sword and Shield. I'm assuming it's a Thunderstone. I know charge a bug is for sure Thunderstone, but Probopass isn't in the game at all. But both Magneton and charge a bug are electric type Pokemon. Probopass is Rock Steel, so
yeah,
I'm assuming. Well, that I would assume that it would use the Thunderstone, but that would probably be the only non-electric type Pokemon to use a Thunderstone, which I don't think is a big deal. But I think
they make a Pokemon that's four times weak to Fighting type, which is one of the most common used types in anyone's party.
That's why you bring a Fairy. See, you put the Probopass next to a Sylveon, and then the Fighting type Pokemon is scared.
All right.
And then you protect, and then you hyper the disarming voice or whatever.
Would you like a Pokemon for next week?
I would.
Okay. Some Pokemon live in a universe all their own. Some Pokemon require you to have caught other Pokemon before they will agree to meet you. Some Pokemon had to be obtained through the Dream Radar. Some Pokemon could be encountered in the skies above Hoenn. Some Pokemon could be encountered in the Ultra Space Wilds. Some Pokemon can now be encountered on a Dynamax adventure. Some Pokemon are sometimes immune to normal fighting and ground. Sometimes they are not. Some Pokemon make use of a mostly light-colored, mottled with black and brown globular item that might be given to you apocryphally by the Striaton City gym leader's alternate forms to swap their attack and defense-based stats.
What just happened?
Starts
you want
with
me to read
C?
That last sentence again?
No, you need
ends
to post it.
Ends with an OT.
Yes, chat hot requires that.
No, they got to re-listen to that part if they want to re-listen to it. This is a podcast. You can hit the like back 45 seconds.
15 seconds. 15
like,
seconds.
I haven't
you hit
listened
the 15
to this podcast
seconds
in a year and a half.
All right. Well, we will be back next week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for making it to the end. If you're watching the YouTube version, feel free to let us know which cereal you would have bought for the Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Lucky Charms, Cocoa Puffs, Trix, or what was the last one? Golden Grahams. No one's picking that one.
Golden Grahams. That's how you know you're on punishment. Your parents buy you Golden Grahams.
No, you're on punishment if instead of sugar puffs, they just got regular puffs. Puffed rice, and then you're in trouble.
We're still trying to figure out how to make the video version work the best, so please bear with us. I know last week's episode had some audio drift. We're doing a little bit different this week, so we'll see when this goes up, how that goes. It's still very hard to do video. You would think that just turn on the video. It's much easier. No, it doesn't work like that.
But yeah, it does. You just turn it on. That's all I do.
Thank you for anyone who left a review for us in Apple Podcasts. We had like 4 reviews come through this week. Thank you if you took the time to leave us a review in Apple Podcasts. Appreciate that. If you want to stay up to date with the HeartGold SoulSilver Nuzlocke, I've been streaming that on twitch.tv/PKMNcast. When we're all done with that whole thing, it will eventually go up on YouTube. On Monday, I believe we'll be battling the 7th gym leader, so we're making progress. And then if you want to follow on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, all that stuff, at PKMNCAST. If you want to support on Patreon, patreon.com/PKMNCAST. Greg is at White Wing on Twitter. Will is at Wash in the Sink. I am at Dragging a Lake. Thank you for listening. We will see you guys next week. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast. And
more to say.
And we are.
We are.
Jeez. Super effective.
Jiminy! It's killing me. Super dying over here. pulling teeth to get the ending out of you. We're super Smogon stands, FYI. Smogon forever.
A huge thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon. If you would like to support us, you can head over to patreon.com/pkmncast, or if you can't remember that, ise.cash, and you can support the podcast and what we do and join our Slack community for as little as $2 a month, and it supports the show because we don't make any other money besides the Patreon. But a huge shout out to the producers of our Patreon, starting with Kevin, Steven, Brian, Steph, Potato, Brady, Casey, Sean, Bovine, Patrick, Jetsy, Matthew, Kay, Courtney, and Catherine. And a huge shout out to our executive producers of Spencer and Anthony. Thank you all so much for the support. Thank you for listening. And if you would like to also support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/pkmncast.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.